time that we stopped for a while the massive presentation of Meadows to people who visit us in the cabinet room or the Oval Office, period, paragraph. We have given so many of these out that they have been somewhat common and consequently perhaps not too much appreciated. My feeling is, as we start this next new year, that we simply knock it off. For a few months, or even longer. When special people come in, or when somebody requests something, we will provide a gift. But I would not go through the routine of always presenting Meadows to people that they come in. Just the fact that they're able to come into the office should be enough during this period. Fair. On another matter, it's very important.
Do you want to see Tim Kennedy now, sir?
Sure.
The biggest problem, of course, is it's an enormously intensive
the,
Well, why are we losing less now than we did then? Because that loss ratio is very small.
That's right.
Less than
2%. The estimate, statistically is that we would lose not less than, about
three.
A little more than 2%, 2 to 3%.
I said three per 100.
And it'll run just about like that statistically over time. And as a matter of fact, I think that the ratio for the entire
13 now.
Right. The entire period, the ratio is just a little bit more than that, not much. Just around 3%, a little bit more. So
the one that would be too high?
Well, any is too high, sir. Of course.
No,
but
no, I mean certain considering the amount of black hair.
No, sir, I think not.
As a matter of fact, it's pretty damn low.
Yes. It's one of the most intensely defended areas in the world. And of course, one thing that does help is that the time into the target is relatively short. Now, they've changed the tactics. They were doing them in waves, three waves a day, so that you got about 30 to 40 airplanes going in at a time, and then 2 or 3 hours later, 30 or 40 more airplanes. Yesterday, they put them all in at once,
wow.
Almost at the same time. They came from two or three different directions, depending on the targets.
Exactly.
Incredible, because of course, they're, at the same time, there are 200 or 300 other airplanes in the area, as the mid-cap suppressing the Iron Hand aircraft to do the ECM work. So there are probably 300 to 400 airplanes in the air at the same time in the area. It's really a traffic control problem. They also did 104 TAC air sorties yesterday.
And was the weather clear enough for them?
It was not good. There was no visual bombing. With Loran. And used S-4s for Pathfinders, also for A-7s to gain Loran.
At least they kept them busy.
Yes, sir. Now, the accuracy, of course, is not as good as visual, and they can't use the laser-guided bombs in those circumstances. And we're probably going to have the same problem again in the coming daylight period. It's going to be pretty cloudy. Now, sir, I looked at the weather map this morning again, and you can see it in China, just one solid mass cloud cover, and it's moving south. And by this time, tomorrow...
Well, of course, we're in a reload situation now where we really come down to it. If we weren't using B-52s, we couldn't be...
We couldn't be doing...
Effectively.
Not very much.
That's right. Really, that's the case. That's the problem.
Yes.
This time of year.
This is the worst weather time in North Vietnam. And we'll go on now until probably... February or May, or February or March. The very worst time, weather-wise. Of course, we've sat down in those West Side sessions sometimes, and there's no time that's good. It's just bad all the time. The monsoons run up against us. The mountain line comes.
What is the situation with regard to what is planned now the rest of the week? We've got
against seven targets. And they'll go at 11 o'clock this morning, our time, Eastern time. Against seven targets, and there are 226 TAC strikes against
night.
About 40 targets. But again, that's right, yes. They'll, again, that's going to be a problem with the weather. They're already canceling some, shifting them against other targets. So just what, how many of them we'll get in, we don't know. We lost two F-4s this morning also, just... They were shot down by MiG-21s, which is something new. We haven't had much MiG activity. They were doing a SAR job. A helicopter, search and rescue, a helicopter had gone down over in Laos. And the crew was fine.
Huh?
And the MiGs got it.
Got that. We don't lose many MiGs, do we?
No, sir. And
back
They must have had their eye on the search and rescue job. That's the only thing we just don't know anything about what actually happened yet. It was Nate's. We'll get more information later. But this
does. Right, let's get that area. I thought we knocked all the airfields out.
Yes, sir. And we have. And they're attacking that one again today. It's the one that's northwest of Hanoi.
We ought to get them to knock the fuses out of that airfield.
So they're going to attack it again today.
God, there is punishing the hell out of them.
Yes, sir. Well, it takes a lot of punishment, I suspect. You know, short of destroying the city.
Yes, I understand. If you could do that, things would be over in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
You could go in there and just plaster it.
I remember some of those cities in Germany and indeed even some in Italy during World War II.
I remember 1947, I was not in the European theater except after the war. God, I should have been a watchtower of the crop plant. Yes. Unbelievable.
Yes.
Not
nothing. Yes.
I was in Berlin. Well, of course, Berlin was shot up for other reasons, too. And the Russians just demolished it. But it was just a ghost city. Not people living in bunkers.
Right.
Got everybody with their legs shot off and everything. It was a cruel, horrible thing. But it worked.
The thing about
this is we are getting something.
Yes, sir. The power plants are just about out of business. The power grids are out of business, so that even though a plant in Area A may get itself on the air with a little bit of wattage, it can't distribute that power elsewhere, outside of its own local area. So the lights are out for all intents and purposes in Hanoi, except for little gasoline generators.
Right.
And in Haiphong. The shipyard in Haiphong is in bad shape. The big vehicle repair shops close to Hanoi are about 50% destroyed, I think. The pictures we saw, buildings are down, and a lot of railroad yards. Railroad yards have been cut. A lot of the rolling stock has been damaged. But again, sir, it takes an awful lot of bombs to finish it. It can beat it up badly, but it's like a railroad wreck on the line. You look at it and you think, my God, they'll never get it in shape. And 3 or 4 hours later, they have the train running through again by just pushing it out of the way. But it does disrupt it badly. And
obviously, morale of your people down there, not losing the customer.
Hours? Oh, here?
This is
yeah. Oh, I think they're fine. No, I think
they're lesser types.
Oh, no, they're fine.
They realize we have
yes, sir. Service. No, they're no problem.
Half the time I have to keep them from running
no.
Cover.
No, no,
they're not like they were in Cambodia.
No. Our own little group there in Cambodia was stalwart, yeah.
From outside. Outside the NSC.
Right. No, I think they're with it. You know, they want to get this thing over with.
And they realize why we're doing this.
And I think they're perfectly clear.
If you really do it, you know, it's breaking the boil. There it is.
Well,
and
all
you... can't be done much more, you know.
They, as yesterday afternoon, as I'm sure you're aware, they said come back and talk on the 8th. So...
We aren't talking about that. We're not... We're not passing
that. Oh, no, sir. No, no, that's strictly in this.
I would not. I didn't want that passed on this.
No.
Or the others, I understand, not because of lack of. I just don't want it put out in the papers.
Exactly.
And then the doves would all say stop the bombing right now.
Right.
And I think we got to give them 2 or 3 more days.
Run it up until they agree to the timetable now that we've suggested again.
I understand the offer to go back. We will announce the 31st and stop them on until the 8th. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Right, yes, sir. I think
so. You have a 1 day off anyway.
Well, when you once it's agreed between the two sides that in fact they're going to go back, it would be awfully difficult to announce that fact. And if you didn't, they would. And then still continue the bombing. I think it'd be a very difficult thing to do. I personally would like to do it. I'd like to let it run until
right.
I can sit down at the table.
That's why I said that.
But I think it's on balance. I think you.
That's not too bad.
It's,
we'd like to get it back or something announced before first of the year, anyway. For the Congress starts back. And we're going to keep that base
in mind. The plan would be to have the experts go back to work on the second.
That's fine.
Which would again show that movement. And if they're serious, it should be a matter of concluding the thing in pretty short order. If they're serious.
Well, they indicated, according to Henry, they said there's two issues left.
Right.
But for Christ's sake, they have been up and down hill on those issues so often. There's the unsealed.
And the signing problem.
Well, what the hell is the signing problem? I mean, which signing problem?
The question of whether all four sign, and whether in fact the PRG in signing then therefore is recognized as a government.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is a big problem, or one of the big problems,
sure.
Too.
Well,
but that's always been a problem.
We cannot allow that to get returned to us.
Two can, it seems to me, in his signing, can make a statement that makes it clear that he doesn't accept their juridical right to, as a government, to be signed.
They can sign it. Just that, of course, there are other things that Jews are. You finally come down to it. They've gone up and down the hill so much, on those things, those 12 changes and so forth. I don't think any of them should have nothing, because all that really matters in terms of this war at the present time is whether the enemy has the capacity. To the determination to resume. Now, that's what really matters. And whether they have the capacity has now been given another offer. That's one of the purposes of this bond. It certainly has set them back a few months. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. I think there's no doubt of that. They it doesn't take them long,
as we found out in May, that set them back. I mean, we stopped to think of the temple of the war. It goes back and back and back every time they're able to mount. They are going to be able to mount a significant spring offensive.
No, sir. I would think it would be a couple of years.
Yeah. There you are. There's that. Then you have a person in intent. Their desires, even if they have the capacity. I can't believe that desire will not be affected enormously by what they think we might do. And that's again why this action perhaps scares them a bit, or at least, and also their desire might be affected by what the Russians and the Chinese thought that they wanted to do. There's one, there's just an awful lot of factors there, great factors. Hughes cases of these dotted I's and crossing T's, saying every man's got to be out of here, and so forth and so on. None of that really matters a hell of a lot. It doesn't really matter.
No. The thing that matters is that the war gets over in a way in which Chu and his government can survive, a genuine elections can occur, and if they do, the present structure in Saigon will survive.
That's right. Well, it's the present time. First, the likelihood of any elections is very, shall we say, at least in doubt.
Exactly.
If Chu feels this won't work out, he'll certainly screw it up. But second, if they haven't, they'll win.
Exactly.
They'll win. They're not going to go for the communists.
It seemed to me in the circumstances that he might want to move quickly And it was precisely that purpose.
Quick, before people begin to think, you know, people can get sour.
Move the election.
His whole attitude here has been all shit. It's right.
Well, they have the, had a good many years. Of course, they recall what has been an unbroken record of perfidy, the 1954 and the 1964 agreements on the part of the North. They recall all that.
Yeah.
And they know that the efforts of subversion are not going to stop.
That's right.
Face all that.
That's right.
But as to winning the war in some, in the traditional sense of an enemy coming to its knees and begging to surrender, it's never going to happen.
Never.
It just won't happen.
Never, because particularly after all these years, with American air and sea power, after a long time American ground there, but with American air and sea power, and they were the most, the biggest, the most modern army in Southeast Asia, for Christ's sakes, that they cannot now win. They are never going to win.
They're
stronger than the North. Are they not?
Exactly. The one thing that they're beginning to build, hopefully, is the kind of will and guts that the North has shown. To give the devil his due, the North has come down there time after time under the most incredibly difficult circumstances, and done well. Now that's all a matter of just plain will.
Sure.
And the South,
and greater will to win.
The South has begun to develop, I think, in the last couple of years. And during the summer, against that big offensive, they did very well in Vietnam.
Sure. That's why the May 8th decision has such an enormous effect. If that hadn't happened, they'd have lost, right?
I think they would have.
They're ready to lose because their will was gone, not because they should have lost. The real, and the May 8th decision, and they began to hold, and they held in Drecourt, and they held in Concrete, and then all of a sudden they had everything in all the major countries. Then, why does all this happen? Because they began to think, well, maybe they weren't going to be abandoned and so forth, but we have tended to erode their will by making them too dependent on us.
Making too many
propositions. Russians and Chinese, they have never eroded the will. They have built up the will of the North Vietnamese. They have helped them, but helped them with moral support and just enough material support. They haven't sent in the men and the invasioners. They've made the North do it themselves. That's why the North Vietnamese, I think one of the great lessons out of this war, looking to the future, is that Americans are basically paternalistic in our attitude toward all countries we help. And we weaken them. We weaken them because we want to do it ourselves. And it's only, and the communists, strangely enough, when they talk about people's liberation movement, it isn't just talk. It's a way of getting people to stand on their own feet and fight their own battles. And that's why communist insurrections, etc., are usually better than the other. Not because they're fighting for a better idea, but because somewhere the will of the fight only develops. When you have to have it.
And pride in their own
hands, right?
The things they can do for themselves.
I think it's a terrible lesson. Here again, you know, we did the same in Korea. You remember?
Yes.
It didn't last as long, thank God, but in Korea. In the early times, everybody said, what do they call them? The kooks.
Yes, the gooks.
What?
Gooks.
Gooks. So they can't fight. So I remember talking, and I was a senator, congressman, I guess, in the early years. These gooks, they won't fight. They don't fight. Never do.
Now they're about the toughest people in Asia.
Tough. Honor. Sure, they still want us to stick around, but they will handle it themselves. Now that's what we've got to do. We've got to get out of South Vietnam.